Let us pray. Let us go before the Lord and let believe that tonight, once more, He will assist us. Hallelujah. Wonderful Heavenly Father, we thank You and we adore You. We come before Thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Once more tonight, knowing that You know our heart, You know our needs, You know our thoughts, and You continue to take care of us. We depend on You. Everything that takes part around us, You know it. And come in the midst of Your children. And certainly You will grant us strength to come out of this situation. Thank You once more for this evening. You can see that we have the desire to know You more and more, and to sanctify our lives, to be set aside, and to be ready when You will return. Thank You, Lord. Bless once more tonight, and all the needs which we have. They are still people who are suffering. Also, a friend of Patty who is sick, but we know that You grant grace. You have granted us grace to look at Calvary and to come out of all situations as victorious people. And we standing still on Your promises, as is written, by Your stripes we have healing. Bless Your word tonight once more and reveal it as You always done. To You honor and praises in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We want to start with the circular letter, Territory, January 1987. It's just a short portion of the circular letter. Therefore, spiritually speaking, no one should return to the place from which God called him. Our model in this is Abraham, who at the Lord's call left his homeland to go to a foreign land. Of course, most of us know the story of Abraham. God called him and made him promises that Abraham believed and saw them fulfilled. In Hebrews 11, from verse 9 to 10, it is said of him, by faith he dwelt in the land of promises, as in a strange land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the joint heir of the same promise. For he was looking for a city which has the foundation, of which God is the builder and maker. The true believers are designated as Abraham's descendants. They pitch their tents on earth, knowing full well that they are only travelers and strangers. In the kingdom of heaven, they will partake of the great feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Matthew 8, verse 11. Glory be given to the Lord. As we read before, spiritually speaking, no one should return to the place from which God called him. Genesis chapter 12, from 1 to 3, we can see that the Lord there, he called Abram to go out of Chaldean. Is about the call, and we can read also in Corinthians, where it is written, come ye out of Babylon. We do not want to go back there. In Genesis chapter 12, here we go back to the beginning, and we can see also or we can remember the mistakes which we did in the past because we did not understand well the call of God. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. That's why we read before, we should not go back or return to the place from which God called us. Get thee out of thy country and from the kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I make thee of thee a great nation, and I bless thee, and I make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curse thee, and thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Hallelujah. Also in Exodus chapter 14, it just came in my heart here. Exodus 14 verse 13. Because when they went out of Egypt, they could not go back to Egypt. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which ye will shew to you today. For the Egyptian whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and he shall hold your peace. That's how Barry Frank he wrote, as we read before. No one should return from the place which God called him. It is a blessing not to return to Babylon or not to turn back as Lot's wife. We don't need to do it anymore. As with Israel, the Egyptian, they make them slave, and Moses could tell them, you won't see them again. We have to thank the Lord for the grace which he gave us when we met him. Through justification, he granted us forgiveness, and now we recognize what the Lord did for us, and he called us out of the world, and the world is Egypt. We do not go back there. And the scripture say, ye are in the world, but you are not of the world. Many times we forget to be stranger and travelers, because after we pitch our tents, we want also to remain. But it should not be like this, because we are just strangers. Likewise with Jacob and Isaac, wherever they were going, they were pitching the tent, and they were looking for a city, as we read there, which has the foundation, of which God is the builder and maker. So we should not to slave ourselves in certain situation, but with God everything become new. We continue to read in Galatians 4:28, Paul said, but you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of the promise. He who is truly born of the divine seed believes and experiences the promises God has given him. This circular letter is an exception, because we are presenting a retrospective of the 20 years of this work, and some of the highlights will be highlighted. In all, I have been I've been preaching and serving the Lord for 33 years. Now already in 1953, I spoke at the International Pentecostal Conference in Kassel, Germany. At that time, I still remember when referring to the biblical passage of Revelation 3:14. At that time, I did not yet know anything about Brother Branham, his calling or his ministry, but I had already realized at that time that we were now in the age of Laodicea. Also here is important, as we said last time, I want to repeat it. That's why the spirit of prophecy when the message came, when the Lord gave the commission to Brother Branham in 1933, and also later on with the opening of the seventh seal, then the ministry, the mysteries of God and his revelation through his spirit went in all the world. And I said with all my heart, because we heard testimony, people who did not hear Brother Branham, they had supernatural experience because they were chosen one, and God has chosen them before the foundation of the world. For this reason, the Spirit of God was touching them, exactly as we read here. Already, Brother Frank, before to know Brother Branham, he could read Revelation 3:13. The Spirit was touching the heart which were predestinated to come to the light of the world. That's also why we've been touched. It's true that we read and the Word of God said that the letter killed by the Spirit quickened. The Spirit of God has touched us, and this thing I find it really important. When I think back on the way the Spirit has guided me, on the many times that the concordant passage of the Word have been directly revealed to me, I'm filled with deep gratitude. Amen. And I wrote down here, it was so with all those people who were sensible to the revelation of the Holy Spirit. It was not like Azusa Street, that he was just in that place. The Spirit of God touched people just in that place. It's also true that after a while he went in all the world. But here we're talking about what God did through his Spirit. And he touched the hearts of his children, his son and his daughter. These were no daydreams or pious imaginings, but a fundamental and concrete introduction into the Word, and thereby into the will of God, and finally into the whole counsel of God's salvation as it was planned from all eternity, and it is now coming to completion. The love for the Word of God was awakened in me already in my parents' house, where the Bible was lying on the table and was only taken away our meal. As soon as one of the six children we were could read, he had to read aloud two verses during daily meditation, and each one in turn. Not all of us have found this grace before God, but God predestinates all things with each one of us. And we continue to read now. My father, who was also in the service of the word, was a true friend and a great support to me in every way. Until the last day of his life, I always showed him the respect that was due to him, as well as all those who knew my mother will be able to confirm that she was a woman who took her place, as we read on last Thursday. A man and a woman, they should find their right place. She never raised her voice, never argued. She really had the nature that every woman who fears God according to the Holy Scripture should have. As far as I know, I never broke the fourth commandment, which said, honor thy father and thy mother. I do not recall ever once treating my father or my mother in any unseemly manner. To me, what they said counted as a commandment. It was certainly the Lord who put it in my heart and gave me the grace to practice it. I would not have been able to do it on my own. Here we see predestination and the formation. We have to recognize it. So there was a predestination for a modeling or the formation of the souls which are where to serve the Lord. This is another portion of Circular Letter 33, January 1987. Men of God experience victories as well as defeats. They receive praises and rebuke. However, all this worked for their good. They were strengthened and continued their journey with God. Moreover, they did not have to answer for their action before any man, but before God alone. There were men who wanted to ask them for an account, such as Job's friend. However, it was not they, but Job who was right. We all know the story of Job and also his friends. However, it was not they, but Job who was right. It's also true that Job was reproaching himself. In Hebrew 10, verse 33, is a passage which came in my heart. Here it speaks about servants which were called to the service. We can read from verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of affliction, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproach and affliction, and partly whilst ye became companion of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourself that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance, etc. So the Lord knew what was taking place with Job. And I continue to read. How long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? You have reproached me 10 times, and you are not ashamed that you make yourself strange to me. But if I have truly erred, my error remain with me. Job chapter 19, verse 2 to 4. doesn't it emerge precisely from the story of Job that all Satan's fury was unleashed against him? It was a trial which God has given him to know his heart. We all know this book of Job. When we find ourselves in sorrow or difficulty, we refer to this book always, and we see here how the Lord put his children in trials. But one thing is certain, and we have always to realize it, there is not a trial beyond our strength. And being also certain and sure, as we always say, if God has permitted this trial to this man, and if God permits trial among brothers and sisters, he knows well that we can overcome it, and we can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Not just because he is our helper, but he determined it in this way, and he saw our heart, which failed not, although the trial, although difficulty, that our hearts could not reject or deny. The word of God, as Job could say, the Lord has given, the Lord has taken. And God, when he's putting us in trial, he knows, he gives us also the assurance of victory. Let us see in James 5. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. He knew that Job would have overcome the trial. What a blessing and what an assurance. We always say there is a price to pay. Every time when we say, Lord, I want it, I want to do it, then at a time also arrived our friend, because the Lord Jesus called him my friend. It's true, he called the devil my friend. May the Lord be glorified. He's wonderful. Let us continue to read. And the Lord's anger, however, was kindled against the friends who had made life difficult for him. In the end, Job had to intercede on their behalf, otherwise God would have taken care of them. A servant of the Lord stands or falls for his Lord, and for no one else, neither for a woman, nor for a family, nor for a community, only for the Lord who has taken him into his service. It's true. It is true. Many times, mistakes were done and still are done because we are not consecrated and submit to the word of God. You can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 4. That's why it is important, because when God takes someone, that person belongs to him. We see in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament with Brother Branham, we have also seen it. It's like this. I read in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and steward of the ministries of God. Moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you. You see how the scripture goes together. Or of man's judgment, yet I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet I am not whereby justified, but that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsel of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. Amen. Let us read also in Romans chapter 14, verse 4. Also Matthew 24:45. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth and falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. God takes care of those whom he has chosen to serve him. I'm convinced of the soon return of Jesus Christ, and I believe in the predestination of God. All things have been known to him. In recent years, it was become apparent how destructive spirits can take possession of people. These spirits are religious, and people think they are morally blameless. That is why they believe that is the anointing of the Spirit that inspired them. They feel joy and a sense of delight after causing damage. They don't let the thought come to them that something might be out of order. Aren't they blameless, and don't they think to be sincere? Yet they do not realize that they do not lead even one soul to the Lord, but rather live behind many assassinated souls. It's true. Is it right? This thing is serious. They leave behind them many assassinated souls. They speak, but continuously, and they think to correct other people, but themselves they don't see that they need an help and a correction. May God grant grace. So it's important, this thing. That's why God wanted to enlighten this thing, to enlighten. The time has come to use clear language. I belong to those who abandon everything to the Lord and like to say as little as possible. It is He alone who has the power to lead us to change situations and to change people. You don't have to be particularly spiritual to know that things in the private domain have to be settled private. We read here, I belong to those who abandon everything to the Lord and like to say as little as possible. How many times, my brothers and my sisters, we mix ourselves in certain situations, trying to fix them, maybe to bring someone back to faith or trying to convert someone at any cost, here is about that. It's not possible. In Zechariah, let us read two passages of scripture. Chapter 4. Verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. I do not want to take this word out of his context. Here speaks about Zerubbabel. You can find it also in the book of Haggai. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord of us. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shouting, crying, grace, grace unto it. Also Psalm. He delighteth not in the strength of the walls. He taketh not pleasure in the leg of a man. We spoke already about it. And knows is strong. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Hallelujah. Those who believe, those who accept, and they believe, and they put their hope in his mercy, they put their faith in that action which God did. Hallelujah. It's necessary that we apply our faith, because if faith is not applied, it's like you say, Lord, you do it, but me I just stay here. You are part of it, not with your strength, but to put your faith in that word which God has made, or the promise which God has made. It's not by might nor power, but by my spirit. So it is important, this forsaking, hone for. That's why Brother Frank say, I'm of those who abandon everything to the Lord. May God grant us grace for our faith to grow. Because when faith grows, also the desire to love the Lord grows. The desire of obeying grows. Everything is connected together. There is something special in forsaking. It's not a technical faith, or like ecclesiastic faith, or from a sect. Is a faith which believes. Be careful. Today we can say, oh, do I have to put the mask today? No, I have faith, so I don't want to put it for you. Is this true faith, or like a sect? A sector, a faith of a sect. Faith is correct is the application of the will and the word of God. It's right. It cannot be otherwise. If it's not like this, it means that is that faith is not faith of God, and it cannot go. Hallelujah. This thing is important. He alone has the power to lead out. Do you believe it? What can you do and what can I do when you see a son or a daughter rebel? What can you do? Do you beat him? Me, I pray for him. I pray just for him. In the name of the Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ, and then the Lord will put a stop there. You cannot do something there because they are rebel. They are influenced and they cannot do anything. They do not understand. But the only armor which we have is faith in the word of God. It's a blessing, my friend. The more we go forward, we can see the manifestation of our faith, because it truly what we believe with our heart, and we see it happening before our eyes. Do you believe it? Is it like this? It is important. I believe it with all my heart. That's why we should have something stable, something truth. Faith which is founded in the promise of God. Think a little bit. When Lot went out with his wife and with his children, how could Lot be careful? How could Lot be able to keep all his family to go without turning around? Lot could not do it. It was impossible. But then a wife turned. That's why we have to trust the Lord and commit all things in his hand. The powerful armor which God gave us is the prayer. His prayer. Yeah, it means when there's a situation between an husband and a wife, they should solve the situation first together. Yeah, it speaks about private things. Everyone also knows the family matter are to be dealt with within the family. It must be equally clear that the affairs of the community do not belong in the public domain, but must be settled where they originate. In 1 Corinthians, we can find it, and we read it already in the past circular letter. Then the couple has to go to church. When they do not find a solution, they go to the elders. Then the elders will tell them, what does the scripture say? So it's the scripture which solves everything. is the word of God, which solves everything. And the believer submitted to the word of God, they will say amen, and they will go in that direction. But they must be settled where they originate. Anyone who does not observe the ABC of this behavior has not understood the most basic things. However, we live in an age of scandals, and even the church is not immune to the spirit of this century. It's true. This is true. Because if it's the church of God, if it's truly the church which God has made or built, it will pass through trials to see if it's going to be able to resist. And I believe also you, Braden, I can call to your remembrance that we have to go to trials. Firstly, me in my way, then after also in Galarate, we pass through difficult situations. Situation which put at risk the community's life, but God has granted us grace, and I give glory to the Lord and to God, which gave us strength to make it. After so many things have been trumpeted, either orally or in writing, I have no choice but to come quickly to cite a few events, even though many of us will find it difficult to fully admit the cause of some of them. If I remain silent any longer, I would make myself guilty. Here the brother speaks about years 74, 76 and 79. In the years which there was a problem in Krefeld. Here the brother is quoting or mentioning this subject. As already mentioned, every human being since Adam and Eve has been exposed to two different influences. Two different influences, which is also why we must try all things by the word of God. Hallelujah. There is the good and there is the evil. The good we know is our Lord Jesus Christ, and the evil we know is Satan. We are getting more in sanctification and in consecration for us to be immune to the evil influence and to stay under the good influence. Otherwise, we won't reach the goal because we'll be falling here and there. By believing what Eve said and doing what she demanded, Adam fell under authority of Satan. You see, Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. You can write it down, then you can read it when you're home. First, she fell under the influence. Then she asked to Adam to do the same thing. The Lord has spoken to Adam. The ancient serpent came to Eve and deceived her. God has said, you eat of all the fruits of the garden, but you eat not of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He did not say it to Abraham, but he said to, he did not say to Eve, but he said to Adam. Adam was knew that he had not to eat from the tree. Adam fell under the authority of Satan. The Lord had spoken to Adam. Satan, the ancient serpent, came to Eve and deceived her. Then she deceived Adam. This is what Paul had before his eyes when he forbade woman to teach the word and take authority of a man. Here we can understand Brother Frank perfectly. First Timothy chapter 2 from 11 to 14. It is simply because there is the fear that they will easily fall under a false influence that Paul wrote the severe warning in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34 to 36. Let your women keep silent in the churches. The apostle had on this point the task, say the Lord. He reinforced what he has just said with the following words. If any man think to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write to you are the commandment of the Lord. Verse 37. Today it is the opposite. Women who think they are spiritual make fun of such a word. What kind of anointing is they upon them? Is then upon them? Every believer has to admit that he has been wrong many times, that he has misjudged or misordered certain things. It is true. May God grant us grace to do the self-examination. Every believer has to admit that he has been wrong many times, that he has misjudged or misordered certain things. As Brother Branham pointed out, there is always the danger of false inspiration in those who have gift. There is nothing they can do about it. So those who receive this inspiration, they don't know, they cannot do anything. That is why we must be vigilant. But at the end of the day, it is not only about that. It is about people who voluntarily profess their own ideas, those they have arranged themselves. Naturally, this problem exists also among men. That's what I wrote down here. The fact of being always inspired and to be before people. Brother Brown used to say it. As they cannot preach, they do it in another way. Naturally, I'm speaking for those who speak in tongue or for those who prophesy. As they cannot do, they cannot preach, they come forth with their prophecies or speaking in tongue. This is the tactic of the devil. And that's what happened in denomination. Also, with Brother Frank, it happened and he fell into it. How should we be vigilant? And we should just base everything upon the word of God. Even if we do not understand it in a moment, we should stay always in the word of God. This is important. I continue to read. In their presumption, They believe they have grasped God's will in their thoughts and desire to help the Lord. They know it is their own thoughts, yet they expose it as, thus said the Lord, there is no more serious offense against the church of the living God. On the day of judgment, I would not want to stand in the place of such a person who deliberately lied to God's people. Is serious. That's why the message has put everything back in their place. What a grace. God revealed things clearly for a man not to fall in the same temptations, but to prepare himself and to become like God, to become perfect, to be raptured, as the Lord has promised us. I continue to read. Brother Branham say he has often been asked to teach people how they can receive the gift of the Spirit. But for those who want to put the gift into action, it is necessary to receive in-depth biblical instruction in their use in order to be able to put these things in practice. This is important. In the first place, all must recognize that in the New Testament, there are no prophetesses, women apostles, evangelists, teachers, or pastors. These functions do not exist in feminine form. For the sister, there is only possibility of manifesting the gift of prophecy, speaking in song, or interpretation. These three gifts must be tested before they can be accepted. They are gifts of inspiration. Hallelujah. Gift of inspiration. What does it mean? Let us read in 2 Timothy 3:16. Let us read some passages of the scripture to understand what inspiration, gift of inspiration. Let us read first this. All the scripture is given by inspiration. Is it not written in 2 Peter that all the scripture is inspired? Let us go to Peter, also read it there. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let us stay a moment upon this important scripture. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto we do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your heart, knowing this first, that no prophecies of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecies came not in all time by the will of man, but only man of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In Italian version is written, inspired by the Holy Ghost. Let us read in Matthew 16:16, when Jesus said, who do you say I am, the Son of Man? And Peter, without even reflecting, without even thinking about, under the inspiration, he said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. So from where comes this inspiration? How does it come then? You see how it's important. He did not think it before. He did not realize it. He was not even convert before at that time. He was just following the Lord. But at that moment, something happened. You receive that direct inspiration. Do you see how the inspiration comes? So it's important. It's written here, they are gift of inspiration. Let us seek the Lord and to get fully in His plan. For this reason, there is an anointment for preaching. There is an anointment to cast away devil. There is the anointment to pray for sick people. They are all inspiration. Let us read another passage in Second Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians. We can read from verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. The translation here is a little bit different. Not by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you. In Italian is written, or be troubled, neither by spirit. Yeah, by spirit. So we understand the gift of inspiration. I'd like to speak about it, but time is running. It's running fast. That's why I say this gift must be tried before to be accepted. Those who want to put in practice this gift, they must receive first the biblical teaching or biblical instruction. And there should be the Spirit of God to do that. And then also obedience, consecration. Do you remember? We read many times, Brother Branham, you say, those who want to receive the Holy Spirit, speak with brother. They will call you and you pray together. And do you remember all these things? Hallelujah. Let us continue to read. In the New Testament, there is only one woman who called herself a prophetess. Revelation 2:20, and we know what he speaks there. She was compared to Jezebel. She claimed to be a teacher. And was thus in contradiction to the prescription given to the New Testament church. What Paul taught to us is not permitted to a woman to preach. A woman has no right to take the Bible into her hand to teach someone. I'll let you comment here alone. And how many times have we seen this still in the midst of the message? When we were traveling, we could see things which were not according to the Word of God. When men stand still and allow themselves to be taught by a woman, they are already in certain sphere of influence. It is said of Jezebel, wife of Ahab, that she was a woman of enchantment. Paul writes to the Galatians, who has bewitched you? False prophecies have the same effect of divination and witchcraft. May God keep us far from these things. without being aware of it, people fall under enchantment and can only be freed after recognizing it and asking prayer for them. This is important. It is very important. What does the Catholic Church does making people to believe that the wine becomes blood and the bread, then the body of Christ, is witchcraft. May God grant us grace. There we see it clearly. But spiritually speaking, in a false prophecy or in a disorder, we can say, of the church, which is not according to the word of God, is the same thing. I can read just a page of the next theme. Here the title is Almighty Word. It's painful for me to write about the following event, and yet I have no choice. On June 16, 1979, I was in the island of Fano in Denmark. After all that happened, since the beginning of May, at that time, during the time between 76 to 79, what took place what happened has shaken Brother Frank. And naturally, we can see, and from what took place, we can learn. Maybe we cannot finish it today, but then we see also the explanation. After all that happened since the beginning of May, life no longer had any meaning for me. No one can realize what happened to a man who has received a task from God, but no longer sees any possibility of carrying it out. Just before dawn, I went to meet the rising tide to end my life. I thank the Lord for granting me privilege of serving Him, and I ask Him to forgive me for everything that had not been right before me, and to take me to Him in His grace. In my despair, I cried out to Him, "Lord, before I go to You now, tell me why all this has come upon me." At that very moment, a very loud thunderclap sounded from the right above me, as one very rarely hears in particularly violent storm. However, it was not a thunderstorm. It was not a long-lasting thunderstorm, but rather a single sudden clap of thunder that stopped just a few meters above me. I thought I was struck by it. Out of that thunderclap came the voice of the Lord with an angry commandment. "It is because you have listened to the voice of your wife." The end of the thunder was at the same time the beginning of the word of the Lord. I fell on my left side, then I got up and I returned to the shore. When I found myself in my attic, I threw myself on the ground, opened my Bible, and read it until I came to the verse 17 of Genesis 3. in which is written, and to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, I voluntarily confirm this event with the words, as God live, and thus say the Lord, what anyone think of says about this, he will have to give an account of it on the day of judgment. I call upon God himself as my witness. We all believe in we God believe that, and we all believe to this event. Anyone who knows the story of Brother Branham's life knows that he too, in a time of deep despair, wanted to take his own life. He had the loaded gun to his forehead and fired, but the shot did not go off, and then threw it in the air, and then the shot went off by itself. I wanted to let myself take my life because I didn't have the courage to take it myself. Those who are aware of the things that happened in the year 76 to 79 know the many prophecies that were given during that time. We all had the impression that God was speaking, because for many years these prophecies were 100% fulfilled, and it was that period that myself has found grace before God to be witness of these things. And at that time the Spirit of God was so mighty, which at the end of the preaching we were going all before the altar, and everyone was crying. Also, Brother Frank, every time we were going before the altar to pray, the presence of God there was there so mightily that everyone was crying. We were there and tears were just falling down. And the word of prophecy was coming. We all have experienced these things, and we cannot forget these things. Now, and this thing continue a full month when I believe this blessing of the Lord were coming in my life. I could feel the Spirit of God and the Word of God, the anointment of God. Those who are aware of things that happened in here 76-79 know the many prophecies that were during that time given. We all had the impression that God was speaking, because for many years this prophecy were 100% fulfilled. I assume that it was the Lord who, through a human mouth, was giving us his guidance. In order for everyone to understand why the Lord made his terrible reproach to me, it's necessary to give some explanation here. In the prophecy of June 5, 1976, it was said, behold, thus said the Lord, my servant, truly, I have set you in a great work, and I have seen your faithfulness and your work, and see, today consecrate the brother K and sister R for the ministry, for the time has come where they must be settled. I follow this instruction and I immediately consecrate the couple on the spot by laying hands on them. As the first part of the prophecies corresponded to the truth, I gave in the panel of the second. the first part of prophecy, it was which that many people had to come in Krefeld, but the second part was a trap. Even when in 1978 the Lord pointed out to me one Saturday morning at 11 o'clock in an audible voice that this prophecy was not biblical, I still did not understand the whole situation. Do you understand? I'll come back to the circular letter where it was written, men of God experience victories as well as defeat. They receive praises and rebuke. Nevertheless, this servant of God was sent and is the faithful one. Also him, as whole or as everyone, many times we do not understand things. And then thinking that we are doing things according to God's love, but that is wrong. I was in my office when I suddenly heard the following words: my servant probe, search the Acts of the Apostle and see if any man with his wife would ever have been consecrated to the ministry. I turned right, took my Bible and read from the Acts of the Apostle. Already after a few minutes I understood that there had never been such a case before. When the Lord called me and told me to go to St. Croix in Switzerland, my wife was there and my daughters, they were there. And this I said clearly before God. Then I went to St. Croix because God, the Lord, has spoken to me personally. So that's why I went there. And then things continue to go, to grow. We continue to read. When I spoke to my wife about it, she said, but no, Kay was not called to preach at all. But the task that the Lord was pronounced in the church before all, that Kay and I are supposed to be they were called to the ministry. As Brother Branham also said, in the accusation against this generation, Brother Branham lay hands in the servants of God for them to go and preach. So he did not pray for the ministry to come upon them, but they were already predestinated to go and preach, exactly as is written in Acts chapter 13. So this thing is important. When I spoke to my wife about it, she said, but no, Kay was not called to preach at all. Let him put on his rubber boots and work on the mission field. Are you here? It's incredible. As for her, she should go and help in the office. So here we can see that the woman has taken control of all the church. She was directing everything. You should be there, you should, the other one should do that. Do you understand this? What do rubber boots and office work have to do with the establishment of inner ministry? This deception, simply based on human consideration, had been proclaimed before the whole assembly, as thus said the Lord. Much later, only my wife admitted in my presence when I saw R and K entering the room. It occurred to me that what can human thoughts have in common with God's thoughts? It is not written in Isaiah 55:8-9, for as the heaven are higher than the heart, for as heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So we enter fully in what took place in Krefeld, and in what Brother Frank was subject of, what took place in his ministry, the trial. That's why in the first part of prophecy, it will say that people is to come, but in the second part, he fell in the trap without realizing it. So we spoke before about two influences, the good and the evil one. No one is immune. The immunity, today, now we have a vaccination of COVID for COVID, but our immunization is the Spirit of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, for us to be under refuge. He has to be in the Word of God, where the Holy Spirit reveals the Word of God to us and speaks to us. Because many times we do not, we give everything as grant. We take everything as granted. The word which you hear from your woman is important. Because many does not hear, does not listen anymore God personally, but they listen just what is said in the church here and there. Do you see the influence of the word? Because you have heard your wife or the church or someone else, and then we are influenced. God has to grant us grace to hear only our Lord and the Spirit of God, the Word of God. This is a lesson for all of us. We know it, and we are drawing near. Still, there are many things which are done when we see them. We say, all this year, to what and them serve. Let us be careful and let us refuge ourselves into Christ. The Spirit of God, is now time to apply the Word of God. It's time to enter fully and to say, Lord, either you, either death, we have to go deep and to resist to the devil, resist to all the attacks, all the influences. And today, more than before, there are many attacks. As Paul could say in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, in Roman, who can save me from this body of death? The Lord has given the answer. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, where is not anymore a flesh. We always read this passage of scripture because it is of great importance. Romans chapter 8, first verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after flesh, but after spirit. For the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after flesh, but after spirit. May God grant us strength to overcome this last battle. Do you think that COVID is putting in trial many, many people? Either with patients, either with the immunity of the spirit. It's like they feel free. They say it's a recreation. They are not vigilant anymore during this time of COVID. But God, He is watching over our lives. To you, to him, honor, glory, and power. Hallelujah. May the Lord give us what is necessary. Nice days are coming. The beginning was glorious, and also the end must be as the beginning. If those days in Crawford, which we have touched with our hand, 77, 79, 70, from 72, because Lord called me in the year 72, we touched those days with our hands, my friends. Don't you think that those days will come back once more, in which the Spirit of God comes in the midst of the hearts, and for us to take position for the Lord and Him to pour out His blessing? And I believe that it takes place again, and we all are waiting for this period. to God be given the glory. We want to pray the Lord to thank Him because He gave us food for our souls once more tonight. And may He grant us strength and necessary faith to continue. Who feel to thank the Lord all? Brother Jeremy left already. Let us pray the Lord. Let's bow our head. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. To you, all the glory, Heavenly Father, for the mercy and patience which you have over your people. You give us your word. Grant us strength to practice what you taught us. Give us faith. And if faith comes from your word, we hear your word and you strengthen our faith. Strengthen our thoughts in faith and also in the church, Heavenly Father, for your spirit to be poured out in your church, in the midst of which love is manifested. Love which you put in our heart abundantly. You came for our salvation. You are the only one who never change. You are the same, Heavenly Father. For this reason, you have chosen us as your children, and we have chosen you as guide. Thank you for your teaching, Lord. We want to keep it more and more. It's true that we fall sometimes, but you are always there to give us strength to continue the work. Those who fell before us, they always raised by your grace. And we want to stand up or to raise, not with our own strength, but by your spirit and through your word. These wonderful words which you give us tonight, let them be in our heart. We thank you. We praise you in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. 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 Amen.